Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, brought to you by DraftKings. 68 teams started the tournament. Only the best have survived. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Pick any team that's still in the hunt for your shot at winning $100, and all it takes is a $1 bet and that team winning their next game. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code KSN when you sign up, and you can turn $1 into $100 if the team of your choice pulls off the win. That's code KSN for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply in partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Typically, we have Ross Tucker in for Ask Ross. Instead, we're going to do Ask Andy and Dustin. We have Andrew P. Shea and Dustin Hawkinsmith in. This is where we take your questions. Normally, it's for Ross. And Ross would answer the questions today, Dustin and Andy. And the best question wins the KSN polo shirt. And if you want to submit a question, it's really easy. All you need to do is download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Ross button. Or you could email us at info@ksnsports.net. That's info@ksnsports.net. Gentlemen, are you ready to answer some questions?
Okay. Yeah.
I've got a motto for this segment. Do you want to hear my motto?
Not really, but go ahead. You're not going to stop anyway. Go ahead, Dustin.
Here's the motto is, two wrongs don't make a Ross. we'll do our best, but we're not him.
Okay. I'll tell you what, though. In honor of Ross, the first question I'm going to ask is a technical question about the offensive line. Which one of you wants to take it and fill Ross's shoes? Which one? Come on. Volunteers.
Andy is better equipped for this question than I am.
Yeah, I'll take it.
All right, here you go, Andy. This is from Tom in Williston, Vermont. Tom says, when Joe Moorhead was hired, he said his offense would simplify offensive line blocking. How much will the Mike Yurcich hire impact offensive line blocking assignments, and could it affect technique?
So it goes, it could affect technique based on what Yurcich and his offensive line coach where they land together, right? Like, do we think this technique can work? I would like to block like this. Do you think you can work this in and have them block like that? I will say that in this offense, that you can expect that they will be working on pass blocking and whatever, whether they go to more of a zone slide technique with pass blocking or whatever it is. Pass blocking was an absolute dumpster fire for this offensive line last year. It was a huge disappointment based on the caliber of players they had and the experience they had at this level. Now, don't get me wrong. Number 14 held the ball way too freaking long, a lot, right? And he didn't help his boys up front. But also the consistent thing that killed me was the communication could have been COVID-related. Their communication, they had played together enough. Their communication was so bad on stunts and rolls and blitzes, and then their technique would just evaporate off of that because they were unsure and lacked confidence in themselves in terms of pass blockers. The crazy part was you flip them over and you watch them run block and you're like, they're killing cats, right? They're moving dudes out of the way. So you haven't heard Yurcich address how he thinks the offensive line will impact the offense that he runs. I don't think he cares, to be honest with you. I think he's going to tell the offensive line coach, I'm going to be doing this, you fix it. So technique-wise, I think it will change a little bit. I think it has to change a little bit in terms of pass blocking across the board.
Very good, Andrew.
Good question, Tom and Rick.
Okay. Let's go, Dustin, with Steve, our buddy from Potomac, Maryland. He is not James Franklin nor Sean Clifford's biggest fan. So I'm going to you can know what the theme of this question is going to be. Here's what Steve asks. After last year, is Franklin's seat warm and trending hot? Recruiting classes have declined in recent years, and it seems like a 1-2 start and another season of below-average quarterback play from Clifford might not be tolerated by the fan base, at least this fan. Could 8 wins or fewer prompt a coaching search?
I think James, this is my opinion, James Franklin is a minimum of 3 years away from his seat ever being warm. Last year is not going to change the temperature of his seat. You know how much stuff was going on last year and how invested they were in the safety and protocol element of it. Now, it's not an excuse for not playing well. They did not play well. There wasn't spring practice. Last year was not going to be a determining factor for anything. Now, I think the interesting thing will be on the recruiting front, where I thought 2020, that class could have been better. When you're looking at national rankings, it doesn't really... there's nothing glaring about it, but they took 28 guys that, of course, they're going to be high in the national recruiting rankings. And then 2021, you know, continued that theme of high end Pennsylvania guys going someplace else. That trend's got to stop. 2022 looks promising. You know, I think there are, you know, 2021 for sure, maybe a blip on the radar recruiting wise. 2020, a blip on the radar. I don't think James Franklin's seat is warm. You have seen him make 2 years worth of a commitment and put faith in Sean Clifford. Now that investment needs to pay off, and it needs to pay off right now, because his investment in Sean Clifford cost him Tommy Stevens and Will Levis. I think I made that point on Monday as well. Sean Clifford better be the right guy. Mike Yurcich better be the right guy. There are issues to solve on the offensive side of the ball in particular, that there needs to be progress made there. But in terms of his seat being warm or anything close to warm, I don't think we're anywhere close to that. Now, much to your dismay, I'm sure.
Well, by your, I hope you mean Steve from Potomac, Maryland.
Yes, I forgot his first name. By the way, do you have any questions from Ben from Florida, or is this everybody else? I want to take that question. Dustin, what makes you so great? Well, Ben from Florida, let me get into that. It'll take me a minute.
Well, since you and I could be partners, Vinny, I could take that question too.
Yeah, it's true.
Stop it. Stop. Stop. I beg of you. I'm begging you, stop. Let's move on. For this one's for you, Andy. Frank from Warminster, and I saved this question for you because Frank uses one of your favorite expressions, and here's the question. Frank says, in your opinion, considering Owe had no sacks but is a freakish athlete, does he follow under the looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane list? And I know you love that expression.
No, I don't think so. I do. So, yeah, he had no sacks last year. And it is at the end, when you transition as a player like him, and you think about it, he didn't play a whole lot for Penn State, right? And his 2020 was going to be his year, and 2020 went sideways. So his best football is ahead of him. Defensive end and sort of a pass rusher in the NFL takes a little bit of development time. Whoever drafts him, you know, I think it's going to take at least another year of development, a full year beyond this one, for you to begin to see it. But I do not think he is a look like Tarzan, plays like Jane guy at all. Vinny?
Yeah, I don't think he is. I wouldn't call him a finesse player. I think he struggled in the transition a little bit to being a full-time defensive end, handling all the different types of roles that he has to play. But I saw a guy who worked and got a lot better in terms of inside-outside pass rush, diversifying his technique a little bit. I see a guy, I think he plays with a competitive edge. I don't think he's a finesse player. I think he is very much untapped. What came to Penn State kind of raw, did some really good things in situations where he could just unleash and really have a singular focus. And I think more experience is going to bring more out of him. I still believe he's a 3-4 outside linebacker at the next level. We'll see how that goes. But I think I don't think I wouldn't call him a Jane at all.
You know, guys, I mentioned earlier how I will go back and watch games from the season. And when you go back and watch these games, you watch it differently. So a guy like Jason Owe, I'll pay special attention to and see what he does. I just wanted to, and again, I know it was Rutgers. He made a play where he ran the width of the field to catch up with the quarterback. I don't think another defensive end makes that play. It all of a sudden, it really made me appreciate that he runs a sub 4.440. It was on display there. It was pretty special. All right, I think it's your turn, Dustin. Let's go with David in Lancaster, and this is your turn at an offensive line question. If Tengwell's future is at offensive tackle, does it impact his development if he starts the year at a guard spot, if he's able to break the two deep or push to start there?
I thought in another year, that would be a consideration for Penn State staff. I think they like the competitors they have for those guard spots, and there's a bunch of them. I thought if Tengwell was needed to move inside, physically he could handle that, kind of like Will Fries could handle that. I compare him a little bit to Will Fries as a high school prospect, only he's bigger, stronger, and better than Fries was at the same time of his development. I think long term
exactly
he is a tackle.
The same.
Yeah, I mean, but like in terms of his frame, his build, and Fries was able to make that transition inside. I think Tengwell could do it. It doesn't seem like they're going to. But I don't think that would impact his development at all. But it seems to me, it looks like he's going to be behind the scenes for a year and wait to see where he fits into the lineup after that.
Another point there, Andy, and I'd want your thoughts on this. It seems like Troutwine is very much about having these guys be versatile enough to play multiple positions too.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of the technique that he teaches is you can go outside in or inside out. Either way, right? I think and you could even look at even the guard to center and center to guard. You could even go that deep into it. I think you want your center to be an anchor and to be a center, but I think he's really big on the way he coaches the entire offensive line and their technique. It gives them the ability to slide inside out and outside in. I completely agree with you that the versatility is something that that he desperately wants and that Penn State desperately needs.
That is it for Ask Andy and Dustin. Stick around in quarter number 4. We are going to announce our winner. We are definitely going to remember to do that. So stick around for that. 68 teams started and only the best have survived. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code KSN. That's code KSN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.